From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled, Living for God in the Light of Our Blessings, part of this series of studies in the book of Joshua. Before Dr. Cairns comes, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, One Look from the Lord. The text is in Judges chapter 6 and verse 14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? What a look was that which the Lord gave to Gideon! He looked him out of his discouragements into a holy bravery. If our look to the Lord saves us, what will not His look at us do? Lord, look on me this day, and nerve me for its duties and conflicts. What a word was this which Jehovah spoke to Gideon? Go! He must not hesitate. He might have answered, What, go in all this weakness? But the Lord put that word out of court by saying, Go in this thy might. The Lord had looked might into him. And he had now nothing to do but to use it and save Israel by smiting the Midianites. It may be that the Lord has more to do by me than I ever dreamed of. If he has looked upon me, he has made me strong. Let me by faith exercise the power with which he has entrusted me. He never bids me idle away my time in this my might. Far from it. I must go. Because he strengthens me. What a question is that which the Lord puts to me, even as he put it to Gideon. Have not I sent thee? Yes, Lord, thou hast sent me, and I will go in thy strength. At thy command I go, and going I am assured that thou wilt conquer by me.
From whom all good proceeds, let earth and time follow.
14th chapter of Luke's Gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ presented a parable to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land, the apparent powerlessness of our churches, cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in the urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seriously seek it. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615, and ask for Edwards on Prayer. The address again is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. As he nears the conclusion of this series of studies in the book of Joshua, Dr. Cairns has come to chapter 24, the final chapter of the book. Here, Joshua rehearses before the children of Israel the mighty acts of God who brought them into the promised land and gave them victory over their enemies. Fully aware of their tendency to wander off and to forget what the Lord had done, Joshua challenges them to choose whom they would serve, the Lord God or the gods of the nations around them. God had indeed done great things for them. He saved them out of the hand of their enemies and kept them through the wilderness and the battles. Likewise, every believer in Jesus Christ is a testimony to God's saving and keeping power. In this message, Dr. Cairns calls upon believers to count their blessings daily and to remain true to God. Now to continue this message, Living for God in the Light of Our Blessings, here is Dr. Cairns.
Let us learn to count our blessings, and as we enumerate them, we tend to accentuate the least of God's blessings. Now, I don't mean that any blessing from the Lord is really a small thing, but in comparison, we tend to focus on the way we feel in our body, the food we have on our table, how much money we have to spend, what job we have. Now again, these are obviously important things. But that's not where the Lord starts. If you look at this passage, you find, first of all, He has saved us. If you can say this morning, the Lord is my Savior, the Lord has saved me, you have the greatest blessing that any son of Adam can ever have. Joshua emphasizes this in this final message, and he notes the three great deliverances which the Lord has given to His people. Notice that he mentions how the Lord delivered Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees. Verse 3, I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan. And then you discover how he led the children of Israel out of Egypt. Verse 6, I brought your fathers out of Egypt. And then, finally, how he brought Israel out of the wilderness and into the promised land. Verse 7 and 8, ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season, and I brought you into the land of the Amorites, and then so on down across Jordan to their full possession. So here are three deliverances. Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, Israel out of Egypt, and Israel out of the wilderness into the promised land. Now those three events were separated by many years, but they actually form three parts of the one great redemptive event of the Lord forming a people for Himself. The salvation of Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees emphasizes sovereign grace. Called by sovereign grace, Abraham was saved. Notice what it says in verse 2. About Abraham and his fathers. Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in the old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor. Notice what it said. And they served other gods. They served other gods. Abraham was born into a family of idolaters. Abraham was raised in idolatry. He knew not God. Jehovah was unknown to him. The great truth of redemption was something that could never be led before him by the priests of their heathen religion. But in sovereign grace, the Lord met with Abraham in Ur of the Chaldees. How he did it, I don't know. But the prophet Isaiah gives us an insight into the sovereign grace of God here when he tells us that he dug him out of a pit. That was the pit from which they were digged. It was the pit of idolatry. And in his sovereign grace, the Lord came to Abraham and he revealed the truth to Abraham. And then he gave Abraham spiritual sight to perceive that truth, a heart to receive that truth, and a will to act upon it. You know what I have just described is what theologians call regeneration. That's what the Lord did for Abraham. And in giving him that great grace to regenerate him and make him a new man, the Lord led him by faith to embrace the promise. And that's what the Bible calls justification. And here's the grace of God. Why have we not cause to rejoice this morning if we're saved? Called by sovereign grace, for we were in the same darkness as Abraham. He called us out of darkness into light. We were under the same bondage as Abraham. He took us from the power of Satan and brought us unto God. He regenerated us and he justified us freely by his grace. Here is God's salvation. It is all of God. And it is all of grace. But when you think, remember the story there in Exodus, and especially in the 12th chapter. How did the Lord bring Israel out of Egypt? Remember he said, take a lamb for a house, a lamb without blemish, a lamb without spot. Slay it, catch its blood in the basin. Put the blood in the doorposts and in the lintel. Roast this lamb, eat the lamb. And as you eat the lamb and shelter under the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. What does salvation out of Egypt tell us? It tells us not only is salvation by sovereign grace, but thank God, salvation is by the blood of the Lamb. What a joy it is to turn to God's Word and see the constant emphasis on blood redemption. Peter said, ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who do by him believe in God, that raised him up and gave him glory. Thank God today for salvation by the precious, precious blood of the Lamb. Isn't it a tragic thing that in this day when sin, like a mighty tidal wave, is sweeping over the nations of the earth, when man's depravity is more obvious, more blatant than ever before, when indeed men gloat and glory in their wickedness, and governments excuse it, and judiciaries make it legal, isn't it tragic in this day when families are falling apart, and people are just sinking under the weight and burden of the guilt of their sin, that churches, less than ever since the time of the Protestant Reformation, are hiding the message of the blood of the Lamb? What can wash away my stain? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And that's the message that needs to go out. We need to hit the high roads and the low roads. We need to go to the down and outs and the up and outs, who are often in a worse condition. And we need to tell them there is power in the blood of Jesus Christ to reconcile you to God, to cleanse your conscience, to purge away your guilt, to break the power of sin in your life, rightly to relate you to God, rightly to fit you for life and for death and for eternity. There is power in Jesus' blood. And what a message that is. I say to you this morning, If you're saved, you're redeemed by precious, precious blood. Never let us grow used to the terminology of the gospel so much that we fail to be thrilled with the fact the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. If you're in this meeting this morning carrying a burden of guilt, you've tried to throw it off and let on it didn't exist, and that hasn't worked. You've tried to work it off, but that hasn't worked. You've tried to indulge in pleasure to try and put away the memory of it, and that hasn't worked. You've tried to become religious, and that hasn't worked. But let me tell you, these things will never work. But I have something to tell you about that God's work and never fails to work. That is the precious blood of the Lamb of God. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that blood lose all their guilty stain. I come to that fountain of the Redeemer's blood. Bring your sin. Don't wait till you're better. Don't try to work yourself into a righteous state before you come to God. If you try that, you'll perish in the trial. Oh, with all your sin, come to Jesus. The great Scottish preacher Horatius Bonner starts one of his books with that very thought. What will a sinner do with a sin? Bring it to Jesus. That's what you do, for there's cleansing power in the blood of the Lamb. And then there is the deliverance of Israel out of the wilderness. And the idea there is that they are saved not only by grace and by blood, but by power. There is the thought here of the extension of the right hand of God. Notice how there is a constant emphasis on what men tried to do, the obstacles that the enemies cast up in their pathway. But constantly the Lord brought them through. He brought them out of the wilderness. He brought them into the land of the Amorites. He brought them over Jordan. And he brought them into possession of the land. Saved by power. And you know, that's one of the great themes of the gospel. The Lord doesn't just say when he saves you, now I forgive you. Now go and do the best you can. No, no. The Lord says when I save you, I exert the power of eternal deity in your behalf. I stretch forth the strong right hand that cast the world across space and that now upholds them in their being. All the infinite power of God is made manifest in the salvation of a sinner. What does that mean? It means that when he saves you, he breaks the power of sin. There's victory for a Christian. I want you to understand that. I want you to know it not by some trick of willpower, not by enlisting in some 10-step program, but by knowing the power of the living God administered to you by the Holy Spirit. There is power to break sin, to break the habits, to take the things that are now your masters and make them your servants. There is power for the people of God. God's salvation is by grace, it is by blood, and it is by power. The Lord hath done great things for us. The Lord hath saved us. But not only has he saved us, it is clear from this passage that the Lord has kept us. When he saves, he keeps. I'm only going to have time to list these things today. But notice he keeps us in times of joy. He says, I give Isaac. Was that not a time of great joy in the house of Abraham and Sarah? I give Isaac. When they had given up all hope, God gave them a son. The idea in the word and the name Isaac is laughter. There was joy. Can I say something to you? You are never more in need of the keeping power of God than in the high times of joy and happiness in this world. And I say to you that one of the reasons America is godless today is that it could not and has shown itself almost, and I'm speaking now as a nation, not as individuals, but incapable of handling great happiness and great prosperity.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.